Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Trading one of the four best receivers in the world, the second best player on his whole team, for what? A second round pick and David Johnson?
What?
I need to do better. I need to run the ball better, catch the ball, and protect better. Overall, I think I missed a couple opportunities for sure.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
That's right, Clint Sterner. He is out today. Your boy, he's getting married tomorrow. But in for him, 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texan, Smith Tay is in the building. Wade Smith is in here. And Wade, already, I mean, news jumping off before we even get on the air. The Texans, according to Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle, I just want to hear your thoughts off this. The Texans would like to retain everybody's favorite running back, David Johnson. Yes, that David Johnson that I said would rush for over 1,000 yards and would have 1,300 total yards
last season.
Yes, I said that about David Johnson. I was sorely wrong. But apparently they want to retain David Johnson. He's due $7.95 million in base salary in 2021. With 2.1 guaranteed no matter what. Apparently, they want to restructure his contract in some way. Is that a positive thing you hear from that for the Texans?
Well, I look at it like this. When I first see it, I see, all right, they're basically saying, hey, you need to take a pay cut or we are going to cut you. We're going to release you. So to me, that makes sense based off of what he's done. He doesn't warrant getting paid, I think, $10 million. Or you say it's supposed to owe 8.5 or whatever it is he's supposed to be getting paid.
Around a little over 8.
Right. So I look at it like this. Nick Caserio is getting his hands in the mix, and he's getting his feet wet of doing the New England Patriot-like things that he's done over the past 20 years.
Well, it's not going to be Patriot South, Wade.
Hey, man, you got to take everything you hear at a press conference with a grain of salt. I've been saying that for the longest, and you know, in this city, you really got to take it with a grain of salt. That, hey, they're going to say one thing and do another. Get used to that. That is the Patriots' way. So when you see Nick Caserio, he's going to be the type of guy that says, all right, I got this guy, David Johnson, on the roster that, you know, he could be productive at times, and he's getting paid way more than we think he should get paid. Hey, let's keep him in the building, but let's keep him for $3.5 million or whatever it is. And if you keep David Johnson – in the building and his cap number is 3.5 or 4 million or something like that, you're saving yourself $4 or $5 million, and a running back of David Johnson's caliber at $3.5 million, that's good value. There's nothing wrong with having David Johnson on a roster at $3.5 million. So to me, that's a good sign that the days of paying guys more than what they should be getting is starting to change over at NRG. Look at it like this. I can't remember the last time that the New England Patriots had a dude on their roster where you said, ah, he getting over, or he's beating the system, or this dude is severely overpaid. They made it a habit of getting guys that at a discount or getting guys right at the value of what they should be getting or moving on from that player. If they saw a player on the roster that was getting paid way more than what he should be getting paid, they found a way to get rid of that player or move on from that player or get value elsewhere from that player. So to me, that's what you're seeing. This is Nick Caserio saying, hey, the days of not getting values out of trade, the days of not getting value out of the players that you have on your roster, I think those are going to the wayside, because Nick Caserio, he doesn't know how to operate in that world where you're paying people and you're not getting value to match up to whatever you've been
paying. So it seems like you've seen this as a positive thing. You like
it. I think it's a positive thing, because what do you have to lose? I mean, if David Johnson says, hey, I'm not taking a pay cut, then you release him, and then now he's no longer here. Like, you got to think about it. David Johnson, he's supposed to get $2.1 million towards the cap anyways, right? If you sign up for three and a half, so now you're paying only an extra $1 million? It's an extra $1 million.
That's an extra
$1.4 million extra to keep him on the roster, that's a veteran, that does things the right way, that does things that you know, I don't know what he averaged last year per carry, but somewhere around 4 yards a carry last year. So, I mean, for a $3.5 million running back at 4 yards a carry and can catch the ball out of the backfield, and if you use him right, you throw him the ball correctly, that's good value for a player. So to me, I'm not mad at that at all.
This will be fun. Let's get the text line rolling already right now. 713-572-4610. Are you with Wade? Do you see this David Johnson as a this is like a new sheriff in town, baby? Nick Caserio is changing the way that the Texans do business. No longer will you have guys who aren't worth the amount of money that you're paying them. That's what Wade said. Sleazy, this is great, because we have Wade, a guy who's played 12 years in the league, that has that thought process and has seen how front offices work and the league works. You have T. Sleazy, who is the ultimate fan, and you just have Pretty Boy, myself. And it'll be real funny and interesting to see how this works. And, of course, the text line. Sleazy, is that what you took it as, David Johnson? Did you was like, this is a good step?
Hell no, Joe. I have seen enough of David Johnson. After week one last year, he came out, he had a decent game. He was never that good again.
Except for the game against the Bengals where he rushed over 100.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that one game against the Colts where he caught 11 balls for 100.
And for my own mentality, show, and all the other Texans fans out there, every time I look at David Johnson, every time I see his face, all I can see is Nuke.
Well, that's not fair to Dave.
Yeah, well, I don't want anyone involved with this organization anymore that was a part of possibly the worst trade in the history of the NFL. Anyone whose fingerprints was on it, anyone involved in the trade, whether it's fair or not, I want them gone.
This is great. See, this is the fan part coming out of it. Yeah. I know you're thinking of, but I tend to slide over to Sleazy side, but not for that point. If you're jumping in and just joining us, it appears from Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle that the Texans, they are interested in bringing David Johnson back. Obviously not at the contract that he's at, where over $8 million, but some form restructuring, because they're going to owe him $2.1 anyway. My thing is this, Wade, is I can't see the move and help to think this ain't football. See, everything that you spoke about, I can hear. It makes sense from a football perspective. It does. All right. I think David Johnson is done, but I can see, if you look at the end of his season, the last three, four games of the season, I could see where you're coming from. Hey, man, you started to see him catching the ball out of the backfield. He looked a lot better.
I started seeing them throw him the ball so that he could catch the ball out of the backfield, which is important.
It looked
it's
like
important.
As you were, you
got to give him opportunities to do what he's best at.
As you told me earlier, in the year, it looked like there was an adjustment of him hitting where he was supposed to hit in the hole. I'm trying to say that in a way so people don't start thinking nasty. But
football.
As you
There's
said,
a lot of penetration that goes on in football.
I remember you telling me.
High school, you win games on penetration.
It really penetrates it a little bit harder.
No one you know nothing about that, did you? No one saw Texas that. High school football thing. You know, you used to win games in the playoffs off of penetrations. That was a thing.
Yeah, but anyway, as you would tell me, as an offensive lineman, you would hate the way David Johnson runs behind you because he wasn't running and hitting the spot where he was supposed to spot. How you block folks.
I wouldn't hate it. I just would have a conversation with him. Hey, you need to fix this. You need to put your foot in the ground to get north and south.
But he
He's
did.
My teammate.
He did improve on that. So I can even see from the football stuff that you're saying, right? Now you get him in. All right, he's worth $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
But this don't seem like a football thing, and I can't get it away. This seems like this wasn't a move that Nick Caserio wanted to make. Or hell, maybe he wanted to make. He's a part of the plan. This feels like this is a guy who fits our culture well, and we want to keep him. To hell with Duke Johnson. This is a guy who fits the culture of Cal, Jack, and Nick.
Can I
and
get an
this
amen?
This is why he's here. It doesn't feel like to me, I can't get that out, maybe I'm being unfair.
Right.
It doesn't feel like this is coming from a place of all the good football stuff that you said. It feels like this comes from a place of he fits what we want here.
Well, you know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong to have that feeling, and there's a lot of evidence that points to that. But I will say this. There are going to be guys that are Jack guys that fit everything that he wants in the players, but they actually can play football. Like they actually, and you can actually get good value out of those players. It's not like every player that are his guys are bad football players.
Brandon Cooks
came Ranger. Here and has done a very good job. And the opportunities he's had to go out there and play, he's continued to be who he was his entire career. He did that here. I would expect him to continue doing that going forward.
With Deshaun.
He's been a Brandon Cooks guy. He's been a Jack Easterby guy the whole time. So I don't want you to hold that against David Johnson. And I completely understand T. Sleazy talking about the whole idea of David Johnson is here and that was part of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I get it. I get that sentiment. But I don't think that Nick Caserio is that type of dude that cares about that. He cares about getting value out of the players that are on the roster or potentially going to be on the roster. He's not going to take the fan sentiment of, man, I just want David Johnson out of here because he reminds me of the DeAndre Hopkins trade and how terrible that was. He's going to look at it and say, all right, if we throw this guy the ball 50 times this season, he's going to be very productive for us as a receiver on this roster. And if we give him the ball 100 times or 120 times this season, he's going to be able to get us a 4 yards a carry, and he's going to be a great guy in the meeting rooms and in the locker rooms with these young guys that we potentially bring in and draft. So having him here at $3.5 million, that's good value for David Johnson. Throw all the other stuff out the window, that's the bottom line of it. And he happens to fit into what the culture you want it to be. That's when I see this move or these thoughts. And remember, David Johnson can always say, you know what, hey, I don't want to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
He could say that. I don't see that happening.
But I
definitely see him saying, no, this is the place for me because I don't know where he's going to go elsewhere to where they're going to give him this type of opportunity. But the thought of
retaining David Johnson, it did not cross your mind first that this is as much about the way and the type of player that they want as much of what he can bring to the table. Because I'm not just being honest. That's where it came to me was this seems like another move where this is the type of player that the triplets want in. And the triplets are Cal, Jack, and Nick.
It's funny how you put them all together, but I looked at it like this. If it would have came out, if Aaron Whitson would have came out and said, hey, they're looking to extend David Johnson and he's going to, you know, they're looking to put together a long-term contract for David Johnson, then I would have been like, yeah, this is not a good look because he hasn't done anything to warrant that, right? There's no evidence that says this is the guy that you want to extend. But what Aaron Wilson put out there was, hey, they're trying to look for a way to restructure him, basically reduce his salary and his cap figure, and then he can stay. And if not, then they'll move on from him. That is a New England way of doing things. So I think that's a positive because that's not how things were done over the past 18 months.
How concerned, not just with the Texans, but how concerned is the NFL on what's happening with Deshaun Watson? Because a slippery slope is being played out right now and maybe something the NFL wants to avoid. We'll discuss that next.
Hey, Houston, you've been through a lot over this last year.
And we want you to know we're here for you at Sports Radio 610.
If you're a small business and a combination of the pandemic and last week's winter storm has hit you hard, tell us your story.
Send us an email at smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. That's smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com.
You could be featured in our Sports Radio 610 Small Biz shout out.
We want to do our part in helping you with the Sports Radio 610 Small Biz Shoutout.
Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Lone Star Chevy Service Department is the best in America, and we'll prove it. Hi, this is Johnny Smith at the legendary Lone Star Chevrolet. Don't take our word for it. Look at our five-star reviews and numerous customer service awards. At Lone Star Chevrolet, I'll make the same commitment to our service customers as I do with our sales customers. If you're unhappy with any part of our service process, come see me. My office is right on the showroom floor, and I'll make sure you get exactly what you need. Total transparency, full disclosure, and 100% customer satisfaction. It's the only way we know how to do it. So visit LoneStarChevrolet.com and check out our low Lone Star Chevy service prices. And with over 56 service bays, one of General Motors' largest service facilities, we'll have you in and out quickly. We're open until 7 every weekday and until 3 on Saturday. Come see us at Lone Star Chevrolet, 290 at Eldridge, Chevy, find new roads.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint Sterner is out today. He's getting married. So he is off. And Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. You know him. You know him. He played for your Houston Texans. He is in today. And you know the NFL has to be paying close attention to this situation in Houston, because a lot of what people were starting to see is this type of power that NFL players have, that it looks like what the Rockets dealt with James Harden. Forcing himself out and then forcing himself out to the exact team that he wanted to go to. Really slickly, Carson Wentz did it too, forcing his way. But this Deshaun Watson situation, Wade, it could blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, from the NFL's perspective, they might be a little bit what's the word I want to use? They might be a little bit cautious about it. They'd be a little bit nervous about the idea of players that haven't even made it to their prime yet, but they're faces of the franchise type of guys, basically dictating their own terms of where they're going to go and who they're going to play for and who they're not going to play for and who they're going to play with, like you see in the NBA. They don't want to open up those floodgates, because the reason that the NFL has been so successful, or not so successful, but so profitable as opposed to, compared to the other professional leagues, is their ability to control player movement and player payment with their product. Like that's what they've been able to do. That's why they're more profitable than other professional leagues, is because they work it out with the CBA that restricts players' movement and keeps control firmly in the grasp of the franchises. Now, this situation with Deshaun could potentially cause issues with other teams if he's able to get his way. And so I think initially they're rooting for the Texans to figure out a way to resolve this without him getting traded, or resolve this without him basically calling his own shot. Because if he calls his own shot, then somebody down the road is going to say, well, I'm going to call my own shot too. And they don't want to have a scenario that goes on in the NBA where you're building these super teams. I just don't see them liking that.
How can they stop it?
Well, that's the thing. If you've seen the history of how things have gone, the player always gets their way. Now, they're going to get their way as far as not being with that franchise that they want to get out of. They're going to get out, and sometimes they get out and it costs them money in the long run, or it costs them money in the long run, but it costs them something, but they regain peace of mind. Like, Dwayne Brown lost money initially, but then eventually he got a deal with the Seattle Seahawks. Antonio Brown lost money, but then eventually he won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, if you're good enough, people are going to say, all right, this is too much of a distraction, get them out of the building. But eventually you're going to get an opportunity to recoup and you're going to win that aspect of getting out from the franchise. But the difference between all of those guys that I mentioned earlier, they're all older guys that, I mean, Antonio Brown's probably the closest one, because he was in his prime
when
he had his deal. Jalen Ramsey, that's a guy didn't mention, but he got his way though. But these guys, you know, the more of that happens, the worse it is, I think, for the league. That's how they look for it. The way they stop it is, I don't think they can stop it. I think teams can stop it by understanding that certain guys can pull this off and certain guys can't. And there's so many players on an NFL roster that only superstars can pull this off. And so the effect of it isn't quite the same as what you have in the NBA. In the NBA, you got five players that play at a time. And if you got three really good ones, you have three superstars, you can compete for a championship. That doesn't work in the NFL. So players, I think these superstar players are going to continue to flex their muscles and continue to work their way out of situations, but it's going to be just them. And it's going to, and they're not going to, it's not going to be something to where you have a total floodgate and exodus of guys leaving franchises, because you can easily make examples out of guys that are second, third year players and say, we'll just cut you. We'll just cut you and release you. And you can, you're getting out. But you're getting out, but you're not getting out in a way to where you can maximize whatever situation. Like, look at what's going on with Isaiah Wilson with the Titans. Yeah. Isn't that his last name, Wilson? Yeah. Isaiah Wilson, the right tackle for Wilson.
Right tackle.
He's like, yeah, I'm not playing for the Titans ever again. All right, cool. You didn't play none.
Four snaps.
Right. They're going to trade you away. Wherever they trade you to, you're not going to be treated like the first rounder that you actually earned coming out of the draft. And so they're going to treat you like just a guy until you play your way into a spot to where you're no longer just a guy. And so if you do anything wrong with this next organization, they're going to get rid of you. And then you'll be out the league or you'll be bouncing around. That's not an ideal situation. What Deshaun Watson wants to happen is to get traded from this organization, go to another organization, and pick up where he left off of where he was headed of, hey, I am a championship caliber quarterback. Everywhere I've gone, I won championships. I'm going to go to a different franchise that's doing things differently and have an opportunity to win. And so that's along the lines of what you see with the NBA, where guys are like, hey, I'm good, you're good, let's come together and go win a championship. That's what you saw with the Warriors. That's what you see with LeBron, with Miami and in L.A., and that's what you're seeing in Brooklyn. That's what the NFL doesn't want, because that gets rid of the whole idea of parity. That's why the NFL – that's another reason why the NFL is such a profitable sport, is because – every team, when the season starts, majority of the time, 95% of the time, your team feels like we have a chance. And if your fan base feels like you have a chance, they're gonna pay hand over fist just to be a part of that. If you, the NBA, they don't have that same, you know, deal. Like, if you're a Sacramento Kings fan, you know we ain't gonna win nothing this year. We're not gonna win nothing next year. We probably never gonna win anything. We're just trying to. We're happy with being competitive.
Absolutely.
And so they don't
for
want
to take
that.
Out the Sacramento Kings.
That's the truth, though. It's the truth. That was the first that popped in my head. But can you? I mean, it's the truth. No, I mean, Sacramento Kings. When was the last time they won anything?
Well,
Chris Webber.
I guess they didn't really win.
I was
anything.
In college.
Yeah, that
was a long time ago.
That beautiful, those beautiful pipes you're listening to. That's Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. He's in for Clint Sterner. We're talking about the NFL is probably watching this situation because. This dynamic with Deshaun Watson could change a lot around the league and maybe push this thing to the NBA style. And this is why I don't think it's a real problem. Is it's one, we now see that it's certain players that this could be problematic with, and it's got to be quarterbacks. See, we don't trip about Ben McLemore wanting out or Daniel House wanting out because they don't change the ramification of the league.
Right.
But when James Harden wants out, and when James Harden wants to move to Brooklyn or Philadelphia, well, James Harden moving changes how the league functions, because now a whole nother team, Brooklyn is probably potentially the favorite to win the championship right now, because that move happened. There's only a certain amount of players that can pull that off. Anthony Davis did it. He went to the Lakers. And they did it. The NFL, the only players that can do that are quarterbacks.
Right.
Even Jalen Ramsey, as great as he is, and he made and helped make that defense number one overall, they still couldn't get past the Packers. It wasn't close. He didn't change everything. Deshaun Watson goes to the Bears. They're a fringe Super Bowl team. Deshaun goes to the Dolphins. Look out. Deshaun, quarterbacks change it. And I just don't think quarterbacks, even down the line, will get sideways with their organizations like this. I think, and now Russell in Seattle
is like, hold on now.
Are trying to
hold on now,
wrong.
Show. Hold
I
on,
still
show.
Believe John Schneider and Pete Carroll will fix this.
Mr. Right. Unlimited.
But those guys will never not get paid if they're right. if they're the right ones that can change things. Right. So money is generally where this comes from. And generally, you won't have hell and fire falling apart in an organization like it is at NRG here. Right? Like you won't, at least that's the perception from Deshaun. Okay, stop. That's what's happened. Deshaun's one out. Jamie Roots wants out. JJ wants out. Everybody wants out.
They all, right? all out, though.
They
all,
and they,
Deshaun's
they all,
still
but,
here,
but Deshaun. But we've heard many people, like the sky is falling here. That won't happen to Kyler Murray in Arizona. Arizona's going to keep a relationship and pay Kyler Murray where Kyler Murray is not going to try to jump ship. That's not going to happen in other places when they have that caliber of a player that can change the outcome of the league. That's why I don't think it's going to be a real problem, because I don't think most teams, when they get a Deshaun Watson, aren't going to handle it the way the Texans did. Most teams, when they get a Deshaun Watson, are going to handle it like the damn Chiefs did and
right.
put everything they can around him.
Yeah, and that's the part that, when you look at it from a Texans perspective, you cannot, for the sake of doing things that might be great for the league, destroy what you're trying to do yourself. Because, listen, the Texans don't win this scenario by sitting Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson, and everything is said that he's not going to play for the organization anymore, they don't get the most value out of Deshaun Watson by having him sit. It might make you feel good if you're a fan listening and say, yeah, it doesn't help the Texans organization. Now, what they're saying out there as far as we're not trading them, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. But when somebody tells you that they don't want to be part of your franchise anymore, you have to figure out a way to move them and get the best out of them, get the most value out of them. That day will come April 29, 2021, and we'll talk about that later in the show. But if you're the Texans, you got to look at it like, hey, we're not trying to – let's not prove a point here. Let's not, hey, you signed the contract, so you're going to honor it type of mentality, because that's going to hurt you in the long run. Because there are players that will try to pull this off, but everybody can't do the same things that a quarterback can do, or that a starting left tackle can do, or a top-notch number one shutdown corner can do. There's only a handful of guys in the NFL that have that type of power and pull. And what you're seeing now is those players utilizing that power, pull, and leverage to make sure they're putting themselves in the best position for them personally to succeed. I can't get mad at that. You know, as a fan, you can get mad at that because they're not with your organization. But, hey, I don't got to go home and deal. The players have their own stakeholders that they're beholden to. And it's not the fans. Like, that's just the bottom line of it. They're stakeholders, and they're beholden to their family, to their legacy, their careers, all of that type of stuff. They're beholden to that. And they're not going to, hey, I'm just going to wallow within an organization forever just so that fans can say, hey, they stuck through thick and thin. Those days are gone. There's things that have been negotiated. I mean, Deshaun Watson negotiated a no-trade clause into his contract that gives him leverage at a time like now. So those types of things, those are things that you're seeing and is going on in the NFL. Do I think it's going to come to a point to where it makes it look like the NBA? No, because there's too many players involved in the NFL. There's too many pieces that have to go right for you to win it all. As opposed to in the NBA, it's a little bit different. But I do think you're going to see that be a consistent thing in the league, that there's superstar players that are flexing their muscles so that they can get to where they want to get in order for them to succeed. And the process of there's going to be franchises they get left in the wind.
Especially quarterbacks. All right, coming up, one of the best in the business, John Heyman, MLB Network, and our radio.com MLB Insider will join us coming up next, and he will let us know, will the Astros sign Carlos Correa? That's next.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner
and the show.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, this just Dan Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle. Texans cut veteran center Nick Martin. According to league sources, Martin was due $7.25 million in base salary and had an $8.75 million salary cap figure. Nick Martin had a good year 2 years ago, but then struggled last year. He is being cut. Another Nick and Jack move. Wade is
you're giving Jack credit for this?
Oh yeah, Jack's involved in all of it.
And my prayer is that you'll really listen to me.
That's right.
I mean, I guess he's not a football guy. This is a Nick Caserio move. Okay. Like this is a Nick Caserio New England Patriot. The value or the production that you're giving me is not matching up the value of your contract, so we have to move on from you. That's what that move is. So, like I said, we talked about it in the first segment. To me, this is Nick Caserio being Nick Caserio and showing this is the way that we're going to operate here. We're going to make sure that the players that we have on this team are bringing us value, and we're either getting them at a discount or we're getting them at the right value of they're getting paid based off of their production. And so, to me, this is a good sign for the Texans. It's unfortunate for Nick Martin that he's going to have to find a new home, but what he's getting paid here, he wouldn't get paid anywhere else in the NFL. So when you have guys on your roster that are getting paid more on your team than where they will get anywhere else, that means that you're paying above market value. And he was given an extension. So guys that you give extensions, you're supposed to give extensions to guys that you're going to save some money as opposed to what they would have done if they would have went on the open market. And so if you got guys in-house that are getting paid more than they would have gotten anywhere else, there's an imbalance there, and it's not good for business. And so to me, this is a good sign for the Texans that Nick Caserio is doing what he does.
All right, if you're just joining us, Nick Martin, he is being cut by the Houston Texans. All right, we are now joined. Joining the show is our radio.com MLB insider, John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and bet the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Make sure you go and check out John's podcast, Big Time Baseball. It is a podcast with great guests and the best guests and insights around. Listen, if you just heard that, be honest with you, John, hell in hand basket is happening in Houston with all of our sports. The Astros are the team that we think is closest to winning, and it looks like Carlos Correa has given the Astros a deadline where he said, yep, if you want to get an extension done, I don't want to do it if it comes after the start of the season. Will the Astros look to get this done before the season starts, which would then put him in free agency next year?
Yeah, excuse my laryngitis. I do think they're going to look to get it done. Whether they get it done, that's another question. There are five big-time free agent shortstops to be, and Correa is one of them. He's the youngest of the five. You know, they all have different things going for them, but they're all major stars. I think Baez gets done with the Cubs. I think Lindor gets done with the Mets. I'm not as sure about the other three, including Seager, Story, and Correa. You know, flip a coin, 50-50. You know, when there's a star, this quality – a year to go, you know, 50-50 is about the best you can hope for.
John, when you talk about Carlos Correa and them trying to get a deal done for him, do you see a scenario where Carlos Correa doesn't want a new deal, even though he said it outwardly? Do you think he's a scenario where he really wants to go to a place like New York? He wants to get out of Houston? Do you think it's more of a kind of a negotiation thing where he says, I want to be here in Houston, this is where I want to be? Or do you see it to where, hey, you know, Carlos Correa really wants to go to a bigger market? He wants to go to play for the Yankees. He strikes me as a Yankee type of guy. How do you see that shaking up?
Yeah. Well, I'm not inside his head, so I don't know for sure. But, he has followed A-Rod's lead in terms of getting an agent, you know, other advice. So, you know, just going by that, I'm guessing that he probably wouldn't mind free agency. A-Rod obviously welcomed it twice, paid off big time, still the highest paid player overall in Major League Baseball history. So, you know, when you're a star and you have big aspirations, you know, normally you go to free agency. I think Baez, knowing Baez a little bit, I don't know him that well, I think he wants to stay in Chicago. Lindor, he moved from Cleveland to the Mets. They've got the richest owner. I think they get it done. The other three, less sure. Correa, Story, and Seager. Now, there's pressure on the Rockies for sure. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockies got it done too. But, I just don't think the chances are great that they get a deal done with Correa. Decent, not great, though.
Our Radio.com insider John Heyman is joining us. Do you expect, because we heard from Dusty Baker earlier this week, and he talked about, you know, a lot of people thought that Altuve was really struggling due to, you know, the maybe the pressure of the sign stealing stuff. But Dusty Baker kind of unveiled that there were deaths in the family that he didn't talk about, and it seemed like just a lot of stuff that was going on that was more than just the sign stealing pressure going on to Jose Altuve. Do you expect that we see a bounce back and see the Jose Altuve that we've grown accustomed to seeing?
Yeah, I do think that there's going to be a bounce back from Altuve. I'm just making my own observation. I live in South Florida. I was in their clubhouse a lot last spring before the pandemic hit. That's my home clubhouse, shall we say, for spring training in West Palm. So I was there, and I felt that Bregman and Altuve both kind of lost their mojo. They weren't, you know, quite as cocky, shall we say. Bregman, I would say, not as cocky. I don't know that Altuve is really that cocky to begin with, but I felt they were both down just based on observing them in the clubhouse. Now, that may just be because they didn't want to see reporters, and they were frowning because there were reporters in the clubhouse. But it seemed that way, and they didn't perform like they can in spring training, and it carried over into the season. I didn't feel that with Springer. Springer seemed like himself to me, Correa too. But I did feel that with Altuve. There may have been other extenuating circumstances. Whatever it was, I do think that the last year with the pandemic, everything else going on with the Astros, it's an aberration. Altuve, I think, is extremely talented. Bregman, same thing. I expect them to bounce back with big seasons.
John, you're talking about somebody bouncing back with a big season. How do you think that Yordan Alvarez is going to do post his two knee surgeries? What type of year do you think he's going to have? And then also, how much position work do you think he's going to get playing in the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the DH, but he's an extremely talented hitter, and we saw that a couple years ago when he won Rookie of the Year. I feel the MVP odds. I mean, he's pretty far up there for a guy who's a DH, on a team that's good, but not a shoo-in to make the playoffs anymore. So I think people around the league think very highly of him as a hitter. I expect him to have a big year offensively. Not expect him to play a lot of defense, but, I guess that depends on the other guys on the team, how they're doing, whether they remain healthy. But the guy can hit, and he will hit up a storm this year, I'm sure of it.
John Heyman, and we appreciate you joining us. And you're playing hurt. I love it. I love that you still jumped out playing hurt. Real quick before we get you out, James Click, the GM for the Astros, said that they could potentially look at still adding things to the roster. Are you hearing any names, anything going around? I know a lot of people are wondering about the pitching, especially the closer position. Are you hearing any potential names that could be leaked or linked towards the Astros?
Yeah, there are a ton of free agents left. Going into this month, there were almost half the free agents were still left, but a lot of big signings with Bauer, Ozuna, and the rest early in February. There aren't a ton of guys left. I think Odorizzi is waiting for a deal. I've not heard Houston linked to him. Jackie Bradley Jr. is the top position player. I mean, I would include Puig in that, but it seems like nobody really wants him at this point. He may have to sign a minor league deal. In terms of bullpen, I think Shane Green is probably the best guy out there. He's a back-end guy. I wouldn't call him necessarily a closer. The closers have gone. Melanson, Padres mm-hmm. got a good deal with him. Obviously Hendricks went earlier. Hand went earlier. Houston was in those guys, and they ended up with Baez. And they kind of suggested at that point they weren't going to get a big closer. So I'm going to kind of believe them. The one that's interesting for me is Jackie Bradley Jr. with Houston, because right now you've got Miles Straw, terrific speed, seems to have confidence. But that's a big ask to have him replace George Springer. That's a tough one. They seem like they're willing to do it, and it seems like they're going to go with Miles Straw, but one of the six or so teams that was connected with Jackie Bradley. I still kind of think he goes back to Boston, maybe, but you still hear the Mets, Milwaukee, San Francisco, Houston, Angels. Those are basically the six teams that you have connected. So that's the one. I don't think there's a great chance, but I'd keep an eye on that for Houston.
Thank you so much for joining us, John. Go get you some hot tea and some honey. Get that throat feeling better.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was our Radio.com MLB Insider, John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analysis. Bet smarter and bet the books. Download BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Make sure you also listen to John's podcast, Big Time Baseball. It has the best guests and insights around. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is with us. Clint's out because he's getting married. And here's the news that we talked about right before we spoke with John. The Texans cut veteran center Nick Martin. According to league sources, Nick Martin was due $7.25 million in base salary and had $8.75 million as a salary cap figure. They cut him, and I think that is a good move by Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby. Now, please help
hold on,
us.
Hold on now. We got to stop this, though.
No, you have to stop this.
You cannot. I'm not giving Jack Easterby credit for this move, because this move wouldn't have happened last year before Nick Caserio got here. No question. Yeah. Nick Martin is that type of guy.
This wouldn't have happened if Jack didn't let it go through.
Come on. If you want to put it away, it's a Kyle McNair move then. Okay, it's a Kyle McNair move.
This is
Nick Caserio. He's a football guy. Jack has said it, that he's not a football guy. He was a non-football guy that was put in a football position, and that's where we sit now because of that. But he's not a football guy. This is a Nick Caserio move. Okay. So now we can keep going. I'm not going to just let stuff ride.
All right,
people on the text line are like, I love that you're being positive. I'm calling like I see it. This is a good move.
And I am too. It is a good move from Nick and Jack. But what about this one? Texans.
Slide it on there.
This is Aaron Wilson. The next tweet was Texans starting right guard Zach Fulton, who is under contract, mm-hmm. has the ability to play center and lined up there previously for the Chiefs. Do you think Zach Fulton returns to this team? Because now I know I can't ever say this about the Texans, but boy, if I was for sure, if anybody on that offensive line that wasn't going to be here, it was going to be old Zach Fulton. Could he move over and play center?
So listen, maybe 3-4 years ago, Jeff Allen came here from the Chiefs. I said, mm-hmm. Jeff Allen is a hell of a left guard. The Texans played him at right guard. You got what you got. Zach Fulton, when they signed Zach Fulton, I said, Zach Fulton is a better center than he is at guard. They put him at right guard. You got what you got. He can play center. He's a better center than he is a guard.
Oh, I've got a friend of mine named Don who watched him play center and watched Jeff Allen play center in Kansas City. And, yes, Zach Fulton was a pretty good center about three, four, 5 years ago.
No question. So, to me, when you ask me, can Zach Fulton play center? Yes, he can play center. Do you want him to be your starting center? I don't know. Maybe you want him to compete with whoever you're going to bring in, whoever you draft, whoever you bring in off the street. I don't want to give anybody anything. But Zach Fulton is a better center than he is guard. I said that when I looked at film of him when he was with the Chiefs before he came here. I thought Zach Fulton was a better center than guard. I thought that Nick Martin was a better guard than a center. But I don't know if you can hear the frustration in my voice. There's been a lot of decisions that have made over there that didn't make sense to me. Why are you putting this guy in this place when that's not his best place? Why are we? Apparently, these things are starting to change. That's something to be happy about. Something to be like, they're doing things that make sense to me. That's a good thing.
Yeah. The Nick Martin thing makes sense. Zach Fulton being your center, and that's just something Aaron Wilson is putting out there if you're looking to see if there's another center. But when I see Aaron Wilson put stuff out there, I don't think that Aaron just does that without any kind of knowledge of anything. I don't know if that's just speculation by him. I wonder if there's something behind that speculation to put that tweet out. But if Zach Fulton, that'll be another shocker. If Zach Fulton is still on this team next year, that will have caught me off guard. But There's some other things. David Johnson's going to probably be on this team next year, and that is something that I would have never thought was going to be the case. Or did I think David Culley was going to be the head coach of this team as well, and that the reason why David Culley got this job is because he crushed it in the interview after hearing him in his press conferences. So, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. Nick Martin, I agree. That's a good move. You're saving good money and to start over. I want to be fair with Zach, though. If Zach Fulton does move over to center, I don't think he had the greatest scheme and coaching, right?
You're talking about here in Houston.
Last year. I don't think that, or the last couple years, I don't think that he was under the best scheme or coaching. Now, with that, I don't know what the hell the scheme's going to be. I am not sure what type of offense they're going to run.
Nobody knows.
The only team in the National Football League that no one knows what their offense is going to be.
And if anybody tells you they know what the Texans are going to run next year, they're lying. I don't care. I don't care. Whatever station, whoever it is, they're lying because they don't know.
As a guy who's played, when you see, all right, Nick Martin's out, does that at all say to you, all right, maybe that's a sign that they're going to run a certain offense if they get rid of Nick Martin?
No, it's a sign that they weren't getting value out of him, so they moved on from him. Like, hey, this guy's not good enough to be getting paid what he's getting paid. He's not producing at a level high enough to be getting paid what he's getting paid, so we're going to move on. That's what it tells me. This doesn't drive me in a direction to say, all right, this is what they're going to do. Now, you look at if Zach Fulton plays center and you have Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil at the tackles, and it depends on who they bring in with the guards, but I look at the fact that their offensive line coach is Campen, and Campen and what they did with the Packers back in the day. You can look at what the Packers did back in the day and how he coached up his guys. That's the type of stuff you're going to see out of the Houston Texans. That, to me, is going to have more effect on how things that are going as far as, you know, Nick Martin being released or kept or whatever. To me, that was just a matter of, hey, this guy is not producing at the level enough to where he should be getting this much money, so we're moving on from him.
All right, coming up, the Texans are making a slew of moves to veteran players. We'll tell you the latest, who's here and who's not going to be here. That's next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.